Okay, turn with me again to Exodus chapter 30, if you would, please. Exodus chapter 30. Tonight we'll begin in verse 11. Exodus 30, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, in other words, when you make an account of them, or when you see how many they are, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them when thou numberest them. Now here we see that the Lord commands his people to give every man a ransom. That word ransom, used as a noun, means a payment or a payoff, a price, which usually is in reference to a release or a deliverance and a rescue. You've heard the term used many times. And as a verb, the word ransom means just that. It means to obtain the release or the freedom for the exchange of a prisoner. The ransom spoken of here, we find in verses 13 and 14, to be a half a shekel of silver, which was to be an offering unto the Lord. And at first glance, this seems to be contrary and foreign to the scripture. How is this passage in harmony with what Isaiah wrote? Remember what he wrote? He said, Come to the waters and buy without money and without price. And didn't Peter write, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold? So what is the Lord requiring here? Besides that, naturally speaking, Israel was already a redeemed people. They sung at the Red Sea. You remember that hymn that they sung there? They said, Thy and thy mercy has led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Why then was a ransom price now necessary? How does this relate to the gospel? How does this relate to our salvation? In our very first study back in Exodus, I was surprised today when I went back to look that that was in June of 2018, we mentioned that the book of Exodus is a beautiful story of redemption, and it certainly is that. I went back to those notes and I found some of the same things that I'll remind you of tonight. First, we saw that Israel had a great need. They were in bondage. They were slaves in Egypt. Bitter bondage, captivity they were in. Second, we beheld the might and the power and the holiness of the Redeemer himself displayed in the plagues that he brought upon Egypt in order to force Pharaoh to let God's people go. Then third, we saw the character of redemption. Redemption must be purchased by blood. We saw that in the blood of the Passover lamb. God said, when I see the blood that he instructed them to put on the door and the lintel, he said, when I see that blood, I'll pass over you. That being a picture of the blood of Christ and the redemption that we have in him and in him alone. And then fourth, we saw recently the tabernacle and the priesthood, and we saw the provisions that God made for his people in all their failures. In spite of us as sinners, the Lord provides for us, makes provisions for us. And then in tonight's study, we see something of the people of God entering into the privileges of that redemption. You know, there are privileges to our redemption. Did you notice in the verses here that we read that the giving of this ransom money was connected with the numbering of Israel? The fact is made no less than five times in verses 12 through 14. So the question is, how is this ransom connected with the numbering of the people of Israel? Well, first and foremost, numbering has to do with ownership. A farmer will number the sheep of his own flock, but he won't be concerned at all with how many sheep belong to the flock of another farmer. His concern for numbering has to do with the sheep that belong to him. So it has something to do with ownership. And in the scriptures, when God numbers or orders anything to be numbered, it says taking the sum of them. That's how Moses describes it here in our text. Well, that denotes that they belong to him and that he has the sovereign right to do what he will with his own. And we know that God's sovereign, and he does have the right to do what he will with those that belong to him. He has a sovereign right as God to do that. And then that brings me to my first point tonight, and that is very simply that God has a people. God has a people. And they are a particular people. God ransoms, God delivers, God pays the price. God frees and rescues certain particular people. Now, this is a doctrine, a teaching. That's what a doctrine is. This is a teaching, a doctrine that is despised by the religious world in which we live. You know that, and so do I. You tell people that God died for his elect and not the whole world, and it upsets folks. But that's what God teaches from cover to cover here. That's what this book plainly teaches us. Everything concerning the salvation of sinners is of God. Now, I don't know how to say it any plainer than that. God purposed it. God provided it. God performed it. Christ purchased it. The Bible knows nothing of a universal salvation or a universal love or a universal atonement. God so loved the world means that God loved his chosen particular people which were in the world. The Bible declares, as I said, from front to back, cover to cover, a redemption made effectual by the Lord Jesus Christ and given to a particular people chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And the Bible is dogmatic about that, about this glorious fact. We just went through the chapters of Exodus that dealt with the tabernacle. We saw the priest and the high priest and the priesthood. We looked closely at the garments of the priest and the high priest. All these things were just plain pictures and types of what is revealed very much in the book of Hebrews, as we've seen. There's absolutely no way that you can take these things that we've studied and make them fit into today's religion. You just can't do it. You can't do it. Do you know why? Because modern day religion is wrong. That's why. God's word is correct. What this book teaches is what God says. And we see the high priest of God going into that holiest of holies. He goes into that holy of holies with the names of the 12 tribes of Israel on his shoulders and on his breastplate. And there's absolutely no way that can represent a salvation that's universal. No, sir. He went into that holiest of holies to offer a sacrifice unto God for a particular people. And I find such great comfort in that. And I've had people say things like, well, you believe God delights in sending people to hell. No, I don't believe that at all. Matter of fact, the scripture is very clear about that. God finds no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God says, come, let us reason together. So that's not the case at all. But it's simple and clear, and it's a picture and a type of God redeeming a particular people whom Christ carries on his shoulders and has on his heart. That's what the high priest going into the holiest of holies pictures with those names on his shoulder and on his breastplate. God provided a ransom only for those that he chose. And God has that right as God. The ransom God provided was the sum of the children of Israel after their number. And what a picture that is of God's elect people. No doubt there were many nations outside of Israel in this time. There's no doubt that there were other tribes, tongues, and nations, and people that were slaves and were in bondage to others. And no doubt in my mind that was the case. Not just Israel. But to none of them did God provide a ransom. To none of them did God deliver out of their bondage. God provided a ransom for the total sum of the children of Israel after their number, which basically means for each and every one that God chose. Now, redemption is particular. I can't say it any plainer than that. God told Moses that his glory was found in him having mercy on whom he'd have mercy and having compassion on whom he would have compassion. That's the glory of God. And God will not share his glory with another. That's the truth that puts vile rebels like you and I at the feet of God's mercy and grace. We have to be made to see. We have to be taught by divine revelation that it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. That's God's glory. Christ died on the cross and he redeemed each of God's particular people. Not one of them will be lost. Not one. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Matthew 1:21. Christ is the good shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He giveth his life for the sheep. That's what he said with his own mouth and his own words. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. Particular people, the sheep. There's sheep and goats. He didn't lay down his life for goats. And he don't take goats, Lou Ann, and make them sheep. He lays down his life for his sheep. They were always sheep. They were just not yet of his fold. Them he must bring. Oh, do you see how particular salvation is? How particular our redemption is? It's the glory of God for Christ to successfully ransom all for whom he died. And it's Christ's glory that he didn't fail, but he accomplished that which God sent him to do. He accomplished that salvation of each chosen child that God sent him to save. And if you're sitting here tonight trusting in Christ, I'm telling you, rejoice. You can't be lost. If God saves you, he plumb saves you. He saves you good. He saves you forever. None for whom Christ died will be lost. As I said on Sunday mornings, we're studying the book of John, and now we're in the 17th chapter. And verse 1 of that glorious chapter says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. And then he said this, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now, those many are God's particular people, and every one of them is going to be saved. He said in verse 9 of that very chapter, John 17, he said, I pray not for the world. This is proof of particular redemption. He said, I pray for them. Who? God's particular people. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I'm glorified in them. Salvation is for the glory of God the Father and his Son. And our Lord Jesus successfully ransomed and made atonement for God's elect. He successfully put away the sin of his people, and he did so by the sacrifice of himself. Now, you've heard all this before, but that's what this is teaching us here in this ransom money. Christ made us the very righteousness of God in himself. God chose us, not based on anything in us, done by us. God chose us by his own free and sovereign grace. And God's people know that. They know that, and they rejoice in it. Nothing in you, nothing in me that caused God to choose us. And there is nothing in you and nothing in me that will cause God to reject us. Now that's good news, isn't it? Christ ransomed us by his own precious blood. So I ask you, what's going on here with this atonement money? Exodus chapters 12 and 13, we see very clearly that the redemption of Israel, as I said a moment ago, was secured by the blood shedding of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb pictures Christ, the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. So why then the ransom money? That's what I want us to think about for just a few minutes tonight. The shedding of blood blood shedding, was the way by which actual atonement was made. But this atonement money, it shows us something here of the preciousness of that blood by which sinners are redeemed. And understand this, understand what I'm saying. It's the blood of Christ that saves, and it's the blood of Christ that atones. The giving of this monetary ransom, this half a shekel of silver for a man's soul, it says, no more signified that salvation could be secured by the sinner's own efforts than it did the sinner furnishing the bullock or the lamb. Implies that the sinner or the one who offered the sacrifice was purchasing God's favor. There's no merit in that. Instead, it's the Lord teaching his people in picture and in type and in figure that Christ alone could make atonement for sin. And the shedding of the blood of the sacrifice was what God saw that caused him to pass over our sin. Nothing else. And I mean to be redundant. But this atonement money, this ransom money, pictures the preciousness of that blood. Again, 1 Peter 1:18 says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how we're redeemed. The ransom money teaches us something of the costliness of Christ's sacrifice. This ransom money teaches us something of the preciousness of our Savior. It says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Peter said that, 1 Peter 2:7. He is precious. And that's what this ransom money is showing us something about. Now look at verse 13. It says, this they shall give every one that passeth among them that are numbered half a shekel. After the shekel of the sanctuary, a shekel is 20 gerah, that's how that's pronounced, and half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. Now I'd have you notice that God required this of every man personally. Several times in these verses, God says, every man that is numbered must give a ransom. Everyone that is numbered must come to God with this ransom money. This was an offering unto the Lord, which means that God required it. This was not to receive a ransom. Christ's blood took care of that. But this was to acknowledge the ransom that had already been accomplished for them. God had paid the ransom in the Passover lamb when he redeemed them out of Egypt. But here God declares what he required. Now first we see that God required each one of them to personally acknowledge that they belong to him. He will have them to acknowledge that God ransomed them through the blood of the Passover lamb. God required each and every ransomed child of God that was numbered to personally bring the ransom price that he required. Now stay with me on this. This will bless you. God requires that all his elect must come to him, acknowledging that he has saved us, not we ourselves. God gets all the glory in our salvation. We must come acknowledging and professing that Christ has ransomed us, that God has ransomed us with the blood of his precious Son. God numbering the people was a sign of his possession of them. Those God numbers belong to him and they're his own. I love the thought of belonging to him, don't you? Now, if you remember years later, David numbered Israel. You remember that? But he didn't require that they bring a ransom price. And by doing that, David took the glory for himself rather than giving it to God. David counted the people he numbered, and he regarded them as his people rather than acknowledging that it was God who had ransomed them. And it would be the same as me tonight numbering each of you and then boasting that you're here and that you worship God was the work of my hand. Same type thing when David numbered the people. And do you remember what happened when David did this? God sent pestilence and killed 70,000 Israelites because of David's sin. Now that's how serious it is for men to try to take and steal the glory of God. He will not share his glory with another. Serious, serious thing. So what must you and I bring? Well, God declared the offering to be here for God's people to bring a half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary to the offering of the Lord. It had to be the exact weight and measure that God demanded. And the picture here is this. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the exact price that God demanded and that God required. God's holy justice demanded perfection, and only the precious blood of Christ met that requirement. Beloved, Christ is this half shekel. He is this ransom that paid the exact price. Did not our Lord come to give his life a ransom for many? That's what Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 said. And just as God sent Moses here with his word, God sends his preachers, and he declares to us that through this gospel that we preach, that Christ has ransomed his people from the fall of Adam in, by, and through the sacrifice of himself. God requires that we come confessing that by his blood Christ ransomed all his elect, for he hath made him. God hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Christ knew no sin, and he did this that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's how we're ransomed. God declares that he'll receive those that Christ redeemed as wearing the ransom that he requires. And you know what that ransom is? It's his own son put on Christ, friends. What great grace it is when God gives us faith to come to God wearing the righteousness of Christ. What a privilege. When we come to God in Christ, we come confessing that we're sinners. We come confessing that there's nothing good in us. Paul said, "In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Nothing we do, nothing we are. We come professing that all our so-called righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. It's only by Christ's precious blood that we're saved from the condemnation that we deserve. And we do deserve it. We deserve it because the wages of our sin is death, condemnation, eternal wrath, forever being separated from God. That's what we deserve. Instead, in Christ, he gives us love and mercy and grace. We're Christ's purchased possession. We're purchased by his own blood. Now look at verse 15. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than a half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your soul. The ransom and the atonement for sinners is the same for all. It didn't matter if you were rich. It didn't matter if you were poor. It didn't matter if you were educated. It didn't matter if you were uneducated. It didn't matter if you were young. It didn't matter if you were old. It was the same for all. The ransom for the atonement required the same from everyone. The rich shall not add to Christ, and the poor shall not give less than Christ. Every child of God has been purchased with the same exact price, that being Christ's precious blood. Every single one of God's elect are equally ransomed and equally righteous. That's what Scripture teaches. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. There's neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision nor uncircumcision. Barbarian, Scythian, bond are free, but Christ is all and in all. Colossians 3:11. There's only one sacrifice that God will accept. Therefore, all who are redeemed have to bring the same exact thing, and that's the sacrifice that Christ made. That's the precious blood that he shed. pictured by that blood on the door, and God sees and passes over us. I said in a message recently that the blood of Christ, the most precious thing that there is, the blood of God. The blood of God was shed for you, Sharon. That's just overwhelming, isn't it? If you remember from our studies of the tabernacle, the foundation of the tabernacle was made of those silver sockets from the silver of this ransom money. That's significant. Every single thing that the priest did in the tabernacle in the service of God was done upon a foundation that was already complete, and it was complete by the ransom money. They took that silver, that half a shekel that the people gave, and they made these sockets that was the foundation for the tabernacle. And every single work we do is God's priest and God's service is done on the finished footing and foundation of the redemption accomplished by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the ransom of God. All of God's saints, being equally righteous and equally holy in Christ, our righteousness, we are equally redeemed in Christ, who is our sanctification. Nothing can be added or taken away from something that's already finished, right? Look at verse 16. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel, and shall appoint it for the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord, to make an atonement for your soul. So we see here that the purpose of this offering was to make this foundation to the chosen of God a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord. Now, a memorial is simply a remembrance. It's a tribute. It's a testimony, testimonial. It's a constant testimony. It's a perpetual tribute, to remind God's sheep that there's no way for us to save ourselves. That's what we're to be reminded of as we look at these things. It's the continual remembrance of our personal sin and our unworthiness. It's a constant reminder of God's free and sovereign grace in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sin. No other way for our sin to be put away other than by the shedding of Christ's blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And I can tell you this from experience. If we take our eyes off Christ, we'll cease to remember these things. It's just that simple. It is so easy to take our eyes off the Lord Jesus and get them on ourselves. And when we do, it never fails. We begin to fear, and we begin to doubt, and we begin to question our salvation. We begin to say things like, well, I know he can save others, but how could he save me? Oh, keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Christ. The psalmist said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy works of old. Keep your mind and your hearts on Christ's work, not your own. That's where your salvation lies, not in what you do. David said, remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. What's the promise of God given to all who find salvation, atonement, and ransom in Christ? Look at the end of verse 12 again. It says, there shall be no plague among them when thou numberest them. Friends, the biggest plague we have is sin. Sin is a disease that will in the end kill men and women. Unless Christ in mercy puts that sin away, we're all doomed. Did our Lord not say, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me? Did the Lord Jesus not say, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day? Now there's your hope. There's where you need to keep your eyes fixed. There's where you need to set your mind and your heart on. All who refuse to bring God's ransom will die under his wrath. But all who bring Christ, who is our ransom, shall have no plague upon them, or among them, it says in the text. Not if they're in God's number. not if they are one of those particular people that we spoke of in the beginning. Why is that? Well, for the simple reason that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, that's not all it said, who gave himself a ransom for all. For all? Did Christ give himself a ransom for all the world? No, you know that. For a particular people, he did. He did for all that were given to Christ before the foundation of the world. He did to all that the Father gave him. So, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that Christ is our ransom. Christ is our only hope. He's our atonement. He's our forgiveness. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. He's our redemption. Christ truly is all and in all. There's no ifs in Christ. You know, I was reading again last week about that poor man that had the son that was possessed of an evil spirit that threw him into the water to drown him and threw him into the fire to destroy him. The Lord Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, John, and James, and he finds the Pharisees, or the religious men of that day, giving the rest of his disciples a hard time because they couldn't cast the demon out of this poor child that was in this horrible condition. And the Lord Jesus came upon that man, and that man said, "Lord, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Have compassion on us. Help us." And the Lord Jesus said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." You see, this man's if was in the wrong place. It's not if Christ can. It's if you can believe. Can you believe? Do we believe? That's a question I ask myself often. Do I really believe? And it was then that the father of this child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe." And I do. I believe. But he said, "Help thou mine unbelief." You know, with the leper, the child of God says, "Lord, I know you can. I know you can heal me. I know you can make me whole. I know you can heal my leprosy. I know you can put away my sin. There are no ifs, ands, and buts with you, Lord Jesus. If you will, you can make me clean." I know you can, but will you? Brothers and sisters in Christ, the answer is always the same. It's always the same. And in that, we can find such hope and so much comfort and so much assurance. Christ has not turned down one yet that truly needed mercy and grace and help in time of need. No, sir, not one time. He always gives the same answer to those who have need of him. I will. I will. I will. Now, if you want to be made clean, if you want to be made whole, if you want to be made well, there is no if. No if. He'll make you so. You know why? Because Christ is your ransom. That's what this is about. That's what this is picturing. And I sure hope that the Lord will use that to give you some comfort. Everything's going to be all right to those who put their trust in him. He shall save his people from their sin. And I'm so thankful for that. May God be pleased to make it so, for Christ's sake.